at the point you came in, did you have something already there that you had to start working on?
It was basically a clean sheet design. When I came here on August 1st, I started with, it was basically, Elon expressed to me that we needed to get down and create Model S and create a beautiful car out of that. So there had been a lot of starts and a lot of stops. You've heard White Star, you've heard Model S before, but August 1st is really when this vehicle started its life.
2008?
Yeah. So 7.5 months.
Who built the prototype?
We actually built it here in Harvard. Built it right behind you. And, you know, that's part of the idea of what Tesla's getting involved with is further integrating the process so we have much more control and ownership and ability to engineer and design the vehicle together.
I think it was you heard earlier say that the production model will have a body design.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if they were already out of aluminum.
No. We're of course investigating, and you know, this is by no means the end of the process. This is still the very beginning of the process. But
so right now they're plastic, you said?
Yeah. But yeah, this car started from nothing.
I don't know if they were on a previous Model S, but aren't they from didn't they have a turbo design on the Roadster at one point?
Actually, I don't think that's a
Roadster. Good, thank you.
Which is kind of a modified 5-spoke.
Yeah.
And these are not our final design wheels either.
No, I thought I'd seen them somewhere other than...
For rolling and for driving purposes, we wanted to make sure that we had the rest of them.
And you don't think in this price range the so-called hatchback curse applies?
Well, you know, I think if you actually look at this car, it's not necessarily
like
a hatch.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a hatchback.
It's a sporty profile. It's a somewhere between a hatch and a sedan, and that's the balance that we're playing. You know, the moment that you can see, okay, the width, you know, allows for a lot of access into the rear of the car. But the moment that you open it like a hatch, people automatically assume it is a hatch, but its overall impression is not so much a hatch as a very slick, sleek, you know, lean profile sedan.
And in terms of the look, as you said, the wheels aren't the final. Is everything else, is this pretty much what we're going
to
see?
We're going to continue to develop the body from an aero perspective and refine it. But this is Model S, and you will definitely not see a lot of major changing between now and production.
Yeah, absolutely change.
No. Wheelbase is locked in, our overall footprint is tight.
We're not going to suddenly have a metal roof on it.
You know, as a base grade option, we're entertaining the idea of a base metal roof because there are some people that are just not interested in centers. And, you know, we're looking at possible solar connection. You know, we've got Solar City on our team. We've been talking to them. Although we're seeing that solar cells on vehicles offer a few issues that, you know, even the major manufacturers want. One is weight, one is radio frequency issues. They're actually causing havoc with the rest of the vehicle. And third is that they really only could, on the best day in Arizona, in under direct vertical sunlight, could give you maybe 2 miles range. For recharging, 12-volt battery is okay. For recharging lithium-ion, not so much. But for keeping the car cool or vented or something like that, making sure your car doesn't die if you leave it in LAX parking lot for 6 months. You know, then
last question for me, and I'll let the dealer get into it. The design, does it lend itself, obviously with modifications, but can that be convertibleized?
pretty much with a little bit of stretch of imagination make a convertible out of.
And they were showing some pictures behind you while we were talking, and one of them, I couldn't tell if it was just a detail shot or if they were teasing us with this back end open and no lift gate, no gate at all, sort of like a sports sedan pickup.
Well, no, I think if you actually wanted to take the lift gate off, you could create that yourself, but it's not an option.
Okay, the way they had it, you know, okay. they had it all finished.
I didn't
back
see
there,
that.
Yeah, and I went,
I didn't see that.
Are they teasing us or something?
What's
thanks much.
Talk to you later.
What's the distance between the rear roof facing passenger and that rear glass? I can't really imagine how the seating position back there.
Actually, the seating headroom, if you want to compare it, is probably about 10 millimeters better than a CLS.
This is for the rear
passenger.
How about the jumpsuit?
We're looking at, you know, probably kids 6 or 5 and under.
You said 10 millimeters? Excuse me, 10 millimeters better than
in the rear seat compartment, yeah, but not the two jump seats in the rear.
Would you use the term coupe, four-door coupe for this, or would you call it something else?
I would call it a sport bat. Yeah, I mean, four-door coupe is fine. It's got four doors, and that's invariably not a coupe. But
just a quick question about 45 minutes and with 300 miles, is that compatible with each other? You're saying, what would a quick charge achieve in terms of range?
A quick charge would get you back to 300 mile range again. So
from
a quick charge from basically zero,
uh-huh.
45 minutes, you'd be back up to 300 miles. Now, if you only had half an hour, you might end up with 200 miles of charge, and it's actually the charge spikes and then tapers off. So if you plug it in for 10 or 15 minutes on the quick charge basis, you probably garner 100 miles very quickly, 150 miles very quickly, and that may be all you need to get to where you're going. So,
and that's based on a 110 voltage plugging in?
No, that's at 240 and probably 70 amps. So it's very high amp load.
And is that using the built-in charger?
The car always has a built-in charger. It's similar to a computer that you can plug into, you know, any international outlet, and it understands, it reads the current draw. So it understands if it's 240, 40 amp, 240, 70 amp, 110.
Three phase as well?
Yeah.
But those numbers are based on plugging it into a special adapter? Or?
The adapter is actually built on board. And then we also supply currently with a Roadster a home charging for 240 and either 40 amp or 30 amp or 70 amp.
And what was the difference in terms of like creating this this design for you versus working in internal combustion?
What was the
learning curve for you in terms of packaging and putting everything together?
I think the best thing about this vehicle is that it's a rear-wheel drive vehicle, so it's sporty and exciting. It's got, you know, so there's fantastic dynamic attributes about it. So the car needs to live up to those standards. The battery pack between the wheels, basically on the floor of the car, opens up the entire rest of the volume that we have, the footprint, into usable space. So there's no motor in the front. There's no emissions. There's no drivetrain through the center of the vehicle. Suddenly we have basically what I would call a skateboard. We've got a flat panel, wheels at the corners, and a slight rise for where the motor and the power electronic controller is in the rear. The rest is wide open space. So,
and the motor is where exactly?
It's between the wheels, in between the rear wheels.
So right next to the battery.
So this car actually...
is it a single unit transaxle like on the Roadster?
Yeah, exactly. This will be a little bit bigger motor, 9-inch liquid-cooled motor, liquid-cooled battery pack. And with the option of all-wheel drive, so we're package protecting right now for the future for another motor for the front wheels. We'll probably put in a sport edition, give you all-wheel drive and even better acceleration. You know, one of the beauties of electric motors is the torque. I mean, it's unbelievable torque. And if you've driven a Roadster, you experience those kind of that impulse of your brain saying, push the right pedal, and you instantly go. There's no hunting and pecking for gears. There's no waiting for stuff to spool up. The car launches. options immediately. We're taking all those awesome attributes and putting them into a sporty sedan.
Can you talk a little bit about the battery, how it's mounted? Elon talked a little bit about it being between the two axles.
Well, that's something that we're going to continue to hold proprietary. We want to we're creating a battery pack that is integrated not only in the shear loads and the structure of the vehicle for safety standards, but also can drop out of the floor and be replaced, similar to taking your propane tank to Home Depot and swapping it out.
But it's so, liquid cooled, right? So you need to also exchange
hoses. It's something that if you're a really tech guy, you could probably do yourself. We will have designated spaces as if you were pulling into a gas station and have the guy check your oil and fill your tank for you.
Any partnership or communication with Project Better Place?
We've talked to Better Place, and they're funded to set up infrastructure similar to this. So we're in collaboration with folks like that and also the government. We need some support from the government to help establish an infrastructure for these types of vehicles, not just for us alone, but for as we start to move away from our addiction to gasoline. And the government is a big proponent for helping us do that, us as consumers. They also have to help us believe in it. And they also we need some support on this.
So is that something that would be standard in all Model S's? Would that be an option, this ability to change?
Oh, it would be standard. I mean, whether you do it or not is up to you and your driving experiences. And if you actually think about the times when you drive, 250 miles or 300 miles in a day, I challenge you to say that that's an everyday, daily use. The beauty with a car like Model S or Roadster is that when you get home or when you get to the hotel or you get to wherever you are, even to work, you plug the car in and it's fully charged and ready to go when you come back out the next morning.
But that 45-minute, sorry to interrupt, but that 45-minute period is not based on a regular outlet, right?
Not on one side. No.
And that's a DC charge, right?
Very specific charge that we would help develop the infrastructure for those quick charge locations, and we would strategically place them between major cities. So if you're going from LA to San Francisco, you would have a couple stops where you could actually pull that off.
So when you say we, does Tesla really want to be in that business of supplying those?
No,
sort of
but
things?
We understand that we need to build consumer confidence in that. So we'll help initiate all of that. And I think if we just provide one part of the solution, then the ownership experience isn't fulfilling, right? If you don't feel confident enough that you can get to your destination, then you're not going to purchase the car.
So you're saying Tesla's getting in the charging business?
Well, we are in the charging business. We provide chargers to your house to charge the Roadster.
Well, right now you contract that from Clipper Creek.
Right. We're going to continue to collab, to partner with groups like Clipper and to build the path, these paths and these avenues. And we're not going to go into this completely alone.
Consumer looks at the car, what's telling him or her that this is an electric vehicle? Like just from a purely design element, like this says to them, this is an electric vehicle, this is environmentally sound. Just if I look at it, it doesn't necessarily say that to me, and I'm just wondering what elements would tell you that.
I think from a big picture perspective, the freshness of the design and the leanness of the character will, but
there's no one thing, it's just sort of an overall.
I think other manufacturers are looking at needing to make a statement always with that that we are so different and we have to be recognized for being different.
Right.
I believe that our customer base doesn't necessarily need to have that kind of differentiating clause, pinned to their lapel wherever they go. They know, I think from an everyday experience, it's enough to know that you've got a beautiful, functional, environmentally safe vehicle. I think I see us stepping out of an era of having to broadcast all of our kind of to wear our heart on our sleeve, so to speak. So I don't believe that that's an important cue. And you know, I evaluated where we are with the Roadster, and there's really nothing. You know, I drive a Roadster around. There's nothing that tells the rest of the world that that is a electric vehicle that's making an environmental statement. And so I don't believe that the foundation for Tesla is about broadcasting a message that perhaps people are uncomfortable with. And, you know, we've seen other manufacturers create different for electric vehicle or for hybrid sake, and I don't believe that Tesla needs to be in that position.
People would be uncomfortable with it. It wouldn't be your buyers anyway, that would be.
Yeah, I think there's a confidence level with our buyers. The early adopters, you know, they don't need to scream that they're exactly different. They don't need to. I think people that are going to be attracted to this vehicle are going to be, they'll actually be confident that they're not so uniquely different and strange and quirky, but they have actually something beautiful that they're proud of.
Right.
And I think, actually, if you think about the iPhone, is not a dramatically different device than anything else on the market. It's just well-made, well-tailored, intelligent in its interaction with the consumer. It doesn't scream anything unique.
You talk about that reassurance. I talked with Elon early on in the clean sheet about sort of like, you're not going to be Ed Begley, you're going to be like a regular person driving
a car. Well, I mean, he expresses that to me.
Right.
I think, first and foremost, we want people to be attracted to it.
Right.
And it's, I see there's always early adopters to something that's unique looking, but especially in the automotive industry, if you don't have legs, then you peter out and your sales volume goes down very quickly.
Right.
I believe this car is a bit of a timeless vehicle right now. It will have legs for the next 5 or 10 or 15 years when it's in the marketplace. And that's an important. I mean, this car needs to be current now. It needs to be current 2 years from now when we're on sale. It needs to be current 7 years from now when we're still on sale.
Right.
So I think, you know, that's always been the challenge of good automotive design,
right?
Is that we
don't want to look
at that lifespan, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and arguably, unique or very specific niche type vehicles have very short lifespan.
Right.
And get dated quickly, and then if something is dated, and we're in a kind of consumer phase now where products and fashion and everything changes so dramatically quickly, but the automotive industry can't keep up with that. So,
okay. So when Elon was saying the goal is to sort of speed up the revolution, what's your dream scenario? Is it that all of a sudden people in you know, small garages across America start building things based on it, or is it that GM says, you know what, forget the Bolt, we're gonna do exactly what you guys are doing?
Well, I've worked at GM,
right,
and I've designed vehicles for GM, and I hope that I brought in some of the vehicles that I've been a part of a high level sense of design into those vehicles, and I think that's always, you know. It's arguable, you know, some people's trash is other people's treasure, especially when it comes to design and putting money into a big purchase decision. As an alum of General Motors, I applaud their attempts at, you know, trying to improve their quality, improve the design, improve that. But I think it's not fast enough, and it's not lit enough, and I think we're in a position to provide beautiful vehicles that are, again, there's no compromise to this. You don't feel like, oh my gosh, I just bought an electric vehicle and I'm saving the planet, but man, I would never buy this vehicle if it weren't for that. You know, I want people to buy this vehicle first because of how it looks and how it makes them feel when they experience it. I want them to buy it because it's offering solutions to their lives that they see comes in a well-tailored package. And then I want them to also buy this vehicle because of the environmental, the electric issue, and you know, being relevant in terms of helping to try to do something different about our addiction to gasoline. So I see that more as a three-pronged approach than as, like, off the record. I don't know that how many people would actually buy a Prius if it was a normally aspirated vehicle. I don't know how many people would actually sign up to buy a Bolt if it was gas-powered.
Because it doesn't say anything to you
It's got a, you know, I think some of those other competitors have a quirkiness that the package constraints have driven them into. And because they've got so much extra stuff that they're carrying around. They're carrying around a gasoline engine, a fuel cell, a battery pack, a motor, and then an electronic module that controls all four of those elements, whereas we've eliminated three of those, you know, or two of those. We have no fuel cell, no big clunky chunk of aluminum in the front emitting bad stuff.
Obnoxious vapors.
Yeah. You know, some of the other things that we've done with Model S is that we're partnering with companies like Futurist, where all the carpeting in the car is 100% recycled PET bottles. All the leather in the vehicle is, you know, it's chrome-free.
Is there a microfiber option, like on the roadster?
There will be, yeah. We're going to continue to explore partnering with leather groups and innovative people that are taking post-industrial waste, Nike reground leather or reground leather off the floor of factories, grinding it up like hamburger meat and then creating new hides out of it. So it's reusing super high quality leather. And I think there's a recyclability importance that we're bringing to the interior of the vehicle as well. So.
Is there a part of the subliminal message as where you don't have to give up all the things you love about cars?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what, when I say it's an uncompromised sedan.
Right.
It is about not giving up. It's actually about getting something that you wished was out 2 years ago or 3 years ago because you would have bought it then too.
Can I ask you about the name? Was the name settled on by the time you came on board? Or?
Well, there was some names, code names that were floating around. Model S was a code name.
It was a code name.
That we were using.
Is it still a code name?
Right? And, you know, we all asked ourselves, hey, is there a better name than Model S to do it? But when we kind of broke down and drilled down into what Model S stood for, we feel like we're kind of at the dawn of a new era of vehicles and vehicle use, and just as the Model T kind of broke new ground in innovation and mass consumerism and bringing a new product to
by calling it the Model S rather than Model U, like, are you sort of saying in a way car history should have gone this way, it should have rebooted?
Maybe that's reading into
it
a little bit too much, but I'll take that. No, I think
but S is for sedan.
Yeah, exactly. S is for sedan, and you know, Model S is just something that we felt expresses the vehicle very well, and we just came to like it, and it works. Pardon?
Who is the owner of the first one?
The owner of the first one? I would probably say that's Elon. He has P1 of the Roadster, too. So.
Steve Durfritzen has said that he was getting number one.
He's the first consumer.
I see. Okay.
There's no knobs in there, which everything is touchscreen.
Yeah, you know, one of the beauties of what we're seeing in product development is with products like iPhone and all the technology that's coming behind that, it's really allowed us to explore the realm of taking hard buttons that we spend a lot of money from a module perspective with outside suppliers, and we're stuck with it a lot. So